three nights there in this hotel. We went to Casa de Campo, and man, we went from paradise to heaven. I mean, it was wonderful. I mean, just the way they've got it decorated with the trees. I mean, it's just it's hard to describe, really. It's just absolutely gorgeous. But anyway, they've got this gate that you go through with and you got to pass. It's almost like going through customs. These guys just almost interrogate you to get in there. Well, Brother Smith knew a lady, Dorothy, that took care of a home in there, and somehow he got us connections where we could go in there and look at. He wanted to show us his home. But what I was going to say is that all he had to, Brother Green, you know, and some of the people were having trouble. Brother Smith said, you know, I'm their pastor, and you know, and it just didn't seem like it was any trouble at all, and they just let us right on through. But they honor pastors, it seems like, over there, and even in customs, and they really have a respect for God's people. But anyway, to tell you, finish that story, we went to this house at Casa de Campo, and we sat in there, and Brother Smith said, well, you know, we could have stayed here. And we're like, do what? Yeah. I mean, you just had to see it. It's just absolutely beautiful. It was it's in a golf course setting, and they just have beautiful, takes you right down to the beach, and it's just really beautiful. And from the balcony, I've got some pictures where from the balcony you can look out and see the ocean and all the palm trees and the flowers and coconut trees. Anyway, so we got to stay there for the rest of the, Brother Smith said, well, we'll see if we can get us in to finish our stay here. And so we didn't argue with him any. So we got to stay there the rest of the time we were there. But the reason we were there is to go and, you know, be a part of what Brother Smith was doing, the ministry. And so there's a lot of fun things we could have done. But we, one night they took us, Brother Smith said it was going to be like a 15-minute drive. I thought that's what he said anyway. And boy, about, I don't know, it's about 45 minutes later, it seemed like we was going through all these bumpy roads, and it was at night, you couldn't see anything, but it was looked like we're going in the boonies, way up in the mountains, and, you know, who knows where. We went to this church in Guerrero, and the people, I mean, it was just really poor area. But when we got out of the van, we could hear. They were in there. We were there. We got there late. Go figure, you know. We're in the Dominican Republic. And we got out of the van, and we could hear them worshiping and praising God. And I knew right then, you know, I feel that body spirit. I knew that there was a change had been made since I'd been there the first time. And walked in there, and just, you know, just the sweetness, you know, everybody loving one another, and just the, you know, worshiping God, and just walked in there, and you could just feel the presence of the Lord. And they had a band there that sounded more, you know, like the body. And this guy, I've got some pictures of it, he was playing the Congo drums, and man, they were neat looking. They were about, 16 inches around, stood about 24 inches tall or so, and he was just sitting there, you know, beating on them like you'd see them, you'd think, you know, like over there in Africa, you know, where they beat on those drums, just, and that's what it sounded like. And they call them Congo drums. But it was really quite an experience. That was Brother Smith. Some of y'all have heard the story of the dove. That I'll let Brother Smith tell that story, but he told that was the church where that he seen that dove in there. And so that was a special time there. And then
Brother Mark, yeah. That was when Brother Calderon got he was in the Nazarene Church, and he was pastor of the Nazarene Church in Guerrero. Guerrero is a little village outside of La Romana, about 15 miles, and it's where the
that must be what it says, 15 miles, not 15 minutes.
There's nothing out there but sugar cane fields. And these people in this village are all Haitian, and they all work in those sugar cane. They still work in sugar cane fields with oxen and little wagon and machetes to cut them down with. And they have big equipment for planting it and all, but they still use manpower and oxen and all to harvest it. And when Brother Calderon came to the body, he got kicked out of the Nazarene movement. And he lived in that church. It's a fairly nice church with a nice apartment in the back of it, and he lived there. And they kicked him out, and he didn't have anywhere to go. And so he began to pray and fast. He went to the sugarcane Central La Romana over the sugarcane operation, and he went there and asked the supervisor for permission to build a little church there somewhere in the village. And he said, "No, you had a church. You should have stayed with it." Of course, you know, they don't understand. So he went back home and started fasting and praying, because he only had just a few days to get out. And after 5 days, well, a young man knocked on the door and said, "The supervisor of Central La Romana sent me and told me to tell you he's going to give you a little plot of ground right back here at the back of the village. You can build your church there." So they went back there and built a little shack. It might be about as from here to that wall, and about this wide. About as wide as that wall, and from here to that wall, about how big it is. And a lot of times there's people standing outside with their heads stuck in the windows to see.
All used corrugated tin metal.
Yeah, with all one before on probably 3 foot centers.
Well, just used lumber. I mean, it just might be a tree or something.
Whatever.
Anything they can find.
It's unbelievable. Anyway, when we moved in that building, our first service, a white dove sat down on the top plate of the wall on the left-hand side, right where the drums were and where the ministry sat, along there. And that white dove stayed there for over a month. And every service, I was there in two services when that dove was still there. We shouted, danced, hollered, screamed, played, beat on drums, every other kind of noise and racket you can imagine. That dove would stand up sometimes and do his wings like that, and then he'd just sit back down. He sat there and listened to me preach a whole hour and a half one time. Never left the building one time. Stayed there with him that length of time. It wasn't a pigeon either. It was a dove, a white dove. I told him, I said, "That's the same white dove that lit on Jesus when John the Baptist baptized him."
Symbol.
Go ahead.
And if you experience their church, their services, and how loud, you know, I mean, they have those speakers cranked up so loud, and I'm telling you what, I'm hard of hearing. It about drove me nuts. I don't know how these guys handled it. I'm serious. And to think that little, it was a miracle that dove would just sit there through all that. But that was really special, that service there with these people that you could tell they were really poor, those Haitian brethren. And when Brother Smith told me they were workers out in the cane fields, you know, you could feel that. You could sense that was their profession. But they just, you know, something special there. And then I believe it was the next night, where's that town, Babado? It's spelled B-A-V-A-D-O-A-R-O or A-D-O?
It's Babado.
Babado.
A V in Spanish is pronounced
B. Like
a B. Well, you pronounce, it's a B and V together, kind of. You kind of put them together.
I don't know.
Say,
but,
say, save a V and then add a B to it real quick. Do it all together.
Bavado.
Bavado.
Say it Bavado or Bavado, whatever. And Brother Smith told us when we were there in Casa de Campo, this real nice, you know, resort. We were all comfortable. And I mean, it had all the, you know, all of our facilities, you know, showers, hot and cold water with good pressure and electricity, clothes, and a lady there that just absolutely do anything for us. You know, she washed our clothes, she cooked us dinners and brought us drinks and just took care of us. I mean, it was really, really nice. So he goes, now, he said, Brother Martin, you might want to tell your wife that she doesn't have to go. This is a 2-hour trip.
My room.
And so she didn't want to miss out on it, you know, so we all hopped in the truck and van and left. But I'm telling you what now, a 2-hour trip over there on their roads, you'll think you went all the way across the entire United States. I mean, and if you've ever rode with Brother Green in the Dominican Republic, oh my Lord.
Close your eyes, brother.
All the women, they wouldn't look. I'm serious. It was scary. It was scary. I was praying. I was almost got prayed through to the Holy Ghost. And I ain't lying. That is not evangelistic. That is the honest to God truth. We were saying, oh, Jesus, help us. I mean, you know, people running out into the road, you know, and you just know they're going to get ran over. And little scooters, you know, these little, they're not motorcycles. They call them motorcycles, but they're not motorcycles. There's little scooters and little dirt bikes and mopeds and, yeah. You know, they're just darting in and out. I mean, they get inches away from you. Somehow, they don't run into each other. I don't know how. But Brother Green, I told Brother Green, you know, Brother, I said, Brother Stewart and I want to get a scooter. I mean, it drives you, the pace over there drives you completely, me anyway. I'm telling you, insane. More insane than I am. And because you're just sitting there, you know, like it's morning time. You go out, it's about 9 o'clock and nobody's up yet. You go out and sit in the, you know, I'm talking about like in this first hotel we stayed in, they have a little cabana downstairs by the pool, and there's a restaurant, a little place where you can get served drinks and food. You go down there and there's people just kind of moseying around, and then it's 9:30, 10 o'clock. Brother Green's supposed to be there. He's going to be there at 10 o'clock. Huh? You know, 10:30, 11 o'clock, he may show up. We're supposed to be there at 10 or 10:30. It's crazy. And Brother Stewart and I are saying, we've got to get a motorcycle so we can get out and do something. Man, we'd be down by the beach or something. We could be doing something with this time. You know, we're spending all this money, travel this far, and we're just sitting here. Sunshine's really nice, you know. This is pretty, but golly, you know, 15 minutes, I've enjoyed enough. I can go do something. I'm serious. It just drives us nuts. But anyway, well, we told Brother Green, we want to get us a motorcycle. And he said, Brother Mark, absolutely not. You are not getting one. I said, what if we just go get one? I know that was iniquitous, you know, but I ain't saved completely yet. I'm working on it. And he said, Brother Mark, I'm not letting you, because he said, you know, just trust me, you don't want one. He said, I'm saving your life. He said, you got to get used to this. Well, let me tell you something. I'd risk it for the, you know, insanity it was driving me into. I'd risk the whole deal just to get out and do something. But anyway, so that 2-hour trip, I'm telling you, by the time you got there, you were sore, your rear end was sore, you were tired, you were sleepy, and you got there, and you felt like you were ready to go back home, and here they are, you know, we're starting right to have church. So I think Sherry, by that time, was beginning to wonder if she made the right decision. But anyway, we got there in Bovado, and they were French speaking. It's another experience to hear. Now, Brother Cyprian, Brother Joel's daddy, he speaks Creole and Spanish, but not very good English. Brother Green, I assume Brother Green can't speak Creole that well, because Brother Cyprian would interpret for these Haitians, and he would speak Spanish. He would interpret the French into Spanish, and then Brother Green would interpret the Spanish into English for us. And I'm hard of hearing, and so I'm getting where I feel like I need to go get some help. But I mean, after being over there, I really think I need to go get some help. More than ways, no. But anyway, so, brother, it's an experience to hear those two different interpreters, you know, interpreting, and it was hard to hear with all the noise, and as loud as they got those speakers cranked up, it's difficult to hear. I mean, even Sister Sherry and brother, some of the other brethren that was there said it was hard, so I didn't feel so bad. But anyway, it was a wonderful experience. Something that you've got to see is the drums that was in this church. Oh, Brother Smith told you about them down in the dining hall, those of you that were down there. They're homemade drums, and it was really neat. I mean, when he beat on them drums, you could tell they were in tune. I don't, how they tune those drums is beyond me, because they're just stretched a piece of plastic over this plastic ring. They took a 5-gallon plastic drum and sawed it off about 3 inches tall. 5-gallon plastic bucket, sawed it in half about 3 inches, and they stretched this thin plastic over and drove nails in it all the way around. And how they tune that, Brother Joel probably knows, but I'm telling you, it was neat. It was an experience. And they had this piece of a 2x6 deal, kind of shaped about like this right here, that they would just take some kind of metal and screw those, some rebar or something, or some all thread or something, and it had those drum heads all the way around there. And it was a different sound, but they were in tune, and it sounded neat. And it was neat experience. You know, they took, these brethren, they took what they had, and they made the best of it. And they were shouting, "Lord Jesus, thank you for what you've done for me. How wonderful you've been to me, and how blessed I am." You know, it just made you, it just melted your heart, really, it did. And so it was a wonderful, it was worth the trip. And so then on the way back home, Brother Cyprian, thank God, drove us home. And he drove a lot slower. I think he realized we wasn't in such a big hurry coming home. Brother Green used to be a taxi driver. If you ever rode with a taxi driver, you kind of get, you know, I mean, that's the way he drove over there. They would slow down. They have these little bumps across the road. Brother Smith said they call them the sleeping policemen, because they, I mean, you're going down the highway, all of a sudden, boom, there's one, you know. But they have little, you have to slow down to a near stop to get over them and then keep going. Policio de Costada. Alcastada. Got to get that slang, you know, just right. But I had a wonderful time. And we did have something else, kind of had, Sherry and I, kind of had something else. You guys have probably already, some of you may have heard about it. I'm going to get this rumor straight. I ain't telling that. But we were actually, Sister Sherry and I have been wanting to adopt a baby for some time. And so we prayed about it, told Brother Smith, and he was, you know, we had this in our mind that we was kind of wanting to adopt a Dominican baby. And so we just asked God, you know, lead us to it if it's your will. And first or second day we're over there, Brother Green said, Brother Mark, he said, I know of a little baby. And of course, I want a little baby girl. He said, we know of this. He is my sister has got a little baby girl that I think she'd be willing to give up. I'm like, don't ask her to give up a baby. Jeez, you know. I said, just, you know, if somebody wants to give, you know, an orphan or something, want to give up a baby. He said, she's an orphan, trust me. So he told us about this little baby girl, and he said, I'm gonna go talk. It's my sister. It's actually, this little girl's my niece. And so, Sarah, you know Sarah? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, the very first day we were in La Romana service, and she normally doesn't come to church, I guess. She came to church, and the only child she brought was that little girl. And Brother Green said, I never talked to her. He said, she just come on her own. And so we kind of felt like, you know, well, maybe this is God. And so he went and talked to her, and she was, I guess she's more than willing. It's a family of seven kids, and their daddy passed away some years ago. I don't know when. But so she's trying to raise these. And Brother Green's been raising them. He was kind of had something. I think he had a reason, method behind his madness. But, I mean, he raises all these little kids, and it's a big burden on him. And so we got some pictures of this little girl. It looks like maybe, we're still praying about it, looks like maybe that God may be in this. So pray with us on this. Just the sweetest little girl, just all kinds of character. I mean, she's just the sweetest thing. And so we maybe adopt, maybe bring a little baby Dominican girl here. Wouldn't that be something special? So we think it would be. So pray with us on that. Anyway, so it's good to be here. I had a wonderful trip. I'm sure I didn't tell all of it. Brother Stewart will have something to say. And so aren't you glad that we're part of the body of Jesus Christ? What he's doing. He's so wonderful. He's got so many things going. You know, I'm sure he's got all kinds of other works in his going, you know, in his head. And something. This is one of the things God blessed us with to be a part of. So, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to take up so much. Is it 1 o'clock? I am sorry. I didn't realize that's taking up so much time. Does anybody have prayer requests for us this morning? Pray for that, Brother and Sister Thomas.
Had some car trouble last night. Had to leave a car on the side of the road and back and get it.
Okay, let's pray for that. Amen. Any other prayer requests? Brother Matt. Okay. Oh, no. All right. It's good to see the little baby girls here today. Sister Fulton? Okay. What's her name? Sister Ruth Hall. Okay. Sister Lisa. I'm sorry. Your grandpa. All right, prayed for Brother York. Yeah, Sister Crow. Mr. Abraham. Pray for that. Brother Stewart. Okay. All right. Let's pray for that. Pray for that need. Any other prayer requests? Yes. Okay. Joshua. Pray for him. All right. Can Brother Curtis? Okay. All right. Karen's foot. Yes, Brother Tyrone. All right. Can we have our ushers come forth and let's stand and take these needs to the Lord, if you would. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, Lord, for your goodness to us today, Lord Jesus. We just look to you, Lord, for your help, your touch in our lives, O God. Oh, Jesus, your healing. Would you meet these needs, Lord Jesus? Oh, God. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Sister Karen's foot, Lord Jesus. This brother in Guam, Lord Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, God. Sister Fulton, Lord. Her family, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. Would you help us, Lord Jesus? Thank you, Jesus, Lord, for your goodness to us, Lord. Oh, God, we love you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, would you go with us tonight, today, Jesus? Thank you, Lord. Amen.
is the Lord. Well, time gets away from us, I know, but I feel like it's good for you to get a report when we go on a trip like this. The Lord, the main thing was the Lord was there in a great way. I was thinking back on it this morning. The Spirit of the Lord moved in a great way in every service we was in. So God is really doing something in the Dominican Republic. And this church is, God's called us to that, to carry that burden and that ministry. And so I appreciate the support that you've given us and to watch God and what He's doing. And it helps me to know that we're definitely down in the last days of the Gentile world. God is still in the process of restoring the church. But there's a great harvest that is about to unfold. And so to watch people begin to receive truths and begin to sing songs and write songs about it, and watch the Spirit, the manifestation of the Spirit. You know, Paul said, I didn't come. He told the Corinthians, I didn't come to you in word with words of man's wisdom, but I came to you in the power and demonstration of the Spirit. He was reminding them of how the Spirit of God was bearing witness when He was there. And Jesus, one place, said, I'm not alone. But there's another that bears witness of me. Speaking of His Father, that God was backing Him up, and bear the witness, the manifestation of the Spirit of God was there, bearing witness that He was the Son of God, and that this was a move of God, and God's purpose being fulfilled. And when I watch God, it's humbling. I noticed Brother and Sister Stewart and Brother and Sister Boyd all, you know, made reference to how humbling it was for God to let us be a part of what He's doing in a country like that. It's not just another missionary work, but it's definitely a work of God, something special that He's bringing this people, and it's growing, it's multiplying. It's not just, they're not just adding numbers over there, but it's multiplying, and it's really phenomenal. I know I made the statement to them several times, you know, just to get their confirmation. I said, how do you tell this? How can you tell this to anybody? We can try to tell you, but there's absolutely no way to tell you what's going on over there. You have to experience it. You just can't, you can't fathom it. Nobody can explain it to you. I mean, how can you tell somebody about a deep move of the Spirit? You know, you can't put it in words. And to watch people, you know, grasp this message and the Spirit of God, the anointing there with them, and to watch them, you know, Thursday night, what time did we get done? I don't know. It's midnight when we left the church. I know that. We did visit around afterwards a little while, but I mean, they went, as the old saying is, slap dab crazy. They just went wild with the Spirit. The Spirit of God began to break out, and they just went crazy with it. It just all over the house. One over here jumping up, down, hollering and screaming, and another in the bawling, one laughing, and then different ones just going crazy, and different ones trying to catch different ones. Sister Yolanda, she was singing, and she just threw the microphone, just took off running. She didn't get three steps, fell flat on her knees, and then got down on the floor on her hands and knees, and people trying to help her, they couldn't help her. She just, you ever tried to hold on to a wiggle wart? You know, she just, you couldn't hold on to her. You know, she just was wild with that. Well, that went on for, I don't know, Brother Fred, how long did it go on? Yeah, it's just on and on and on. And there's no way you can explain that to anybody. You just have to be there to see it and experience it and feel it. Brother Brown one time got up in the campground, said it about as good as you can say it. He said, I have been to the Dominican Republic and can testify that it is a bona fide work of the body of Christ. And that's about the best you can put it in words. You have to be there to be able to testify that it is absolutely a work of God. So, and I don't take any credit. I just know God just called me. And he's using me. If I hadn't obeyed him, somebody would have. But the Lord's doing the work. Except the Lord build the house, the Bible says. They that labor in vain that build it. And so if God's not building the house, it's just an organization of men. It's just something that men are doing. You can take the Word of God. The Bible said stolen waters are sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But they know not that the dead are there. You can take the Word of God. You can take the Spirit of God, stolen waters. You can use God's Spirit wrong. You can build wrong with it. And you can bread eaten in secret. You can shut this up in a secular group of people and say we're it. And you got to join this. You got to have our articles of faith. It might be pleasant, but death is working in the midst of that. You can't get liberated from death in a spirit working like that. But it takes the liberty of the Spirit of God working and finding out how to work with God, finding out what God's doing and learning how to work with Him. Otherwise, you'll be working for Him. He'll use you, but until you learn how to work with God, you won't be effective. Anyway, no dinner. Is dinner ready downstairs? Can you find out for me, Brother Nathan? I know it's potluck, but they still... Uh-huh. Yes. I just fixed to mention Brother Daniel Pettis, isn't it? From Hot Springs is here visiting with us today. Aren't we glad to have him with us? God bless your heart, Brother Perez. It takes something to walk in here and sit down and not know when you're going to get done or what's going to take place. But I can just about promise you can come 7 times in a row and none of those services will be the same. Because we don't have this programmed. I don't have a message outlined for today. We're just leaning on God, leaning on the Spirit of God, and we want the Spirit to have its way. We want God to come in our midst and help us and give us what He would have us to have. He's the only one who knows what we need here today. Of course, I do know God can give a minister something ahead of time. God can, and I've had that happen many times. God deal with me. Of course, I've had God give me messages, and I thought, boy, Sunday I'm going to give this out. And Sunday it wouldn't even no way fit. And I might have to wait 2 or 3 months before God had let me preach that message He gave me. But it's when you do it in God's time and the Spirit's leading it, it'll be effective. But if you do it with your own mind, your own spirit, it won't. And so we're trying to learn to follow the Spirit. Be led of the Spirit of God. Watch the Spirit. So, well, we'll take a break here. And go downstairs and eat. And then we'll come back at 5 o'clock. Is there, we haven't been practice at 4? And want to invite everybody, Brother Perez, if you don't have time, we'd love for you to eat with us downstairs. And I'd like to get to know you better and you get to know us better. And anyway, I'm looking forward to what the Lord has in store. This week is the regional fellowship meeting in Memphis, Tennessee. Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. I think it's over Friday night. anyway, at Brother Truman Benfield's. So if you are planning on going to that meeting and you haven't made any reservations for a motel or anything, you might want to see me. I reserved three double rooms in one of the motels there, and I don't think that we'll be using all of them, so I'm going to let one of them go, or if someone doesn't need it. And I just figured there'd be enough people going that you might need a room, and I reserved three rooms. So if you need a room, let me know, and I'll see to it that you get one. It sure is good to have these two little baby girls here in church. I didn't know if y'all would get them here today. I didn't know whether or not you'd let them, you know, come yet. Let us, rest of the family, get to see them. But we sure been praying for them, and praying for Sister Reva. Keep praying for her, that her blood pressure gets stabilized, and she's got a big job on her hands. I'm going to tell you right now, Anthony's a big job. But then when you stack two more on top of him, you could get overwhelmed. So pray for Sister Reva and Brother Matthew. He'll have to get used to crying babies in harmony, you know. Maybe they'll be good babies and just cry little bitty cries, real soft cries. Anyway, keep them in your prayers. Praise God. Let's all stand, pray, and ask God to bless the food, bless our fellowship downstairs, and then let's come back tonight and worship God and see what He has in store for us. Dear God, thank You, Lord, for Your goodness. God, for Your mercy. Help us, O Lamb of God. Oh, Savior, we give You praise for the provisions that You've made for us, for the trip we've been on, for Your protective hand. Oh, God, thank You for touching Elijah today, Your precious Spirit. Oh, God, bless our fellowship here today and time together. Let us sup with You, Lord. In Christ's name. All right, if you'll be seated, and if the seniors will go on and make your way.